Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Well, happy Easter, everybody. Happy Resurrection Day. All those joining us online, welcome. We're so glad you're joining us as we join Christians and people of faith from around the world celebrating the risen Savior. Celebrating. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Today we begin a new series on Easter called Forward. Forward. And the Lord spoke this series to me several weeks ago when I was laying on my back, not able to stand, not able to walk. And he said, on Easter, you'll begin this series. On Easter, today is 40 days from that moment, Jesus took my hand and he said, trust me. In a moment that I couldn't walk, that was in horrific pain, he said, just trust me. And in that moment, I made a decision that I would trust him whether I could ever walk again. I would trust him. Also knowing simultaneously that I was going to walk again. Amen? And today I'm walking, praise God. And that's a whole nother story. Moving forward. Forward moving power is what we're going to talk about today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, about 25 years after Jesus had resurrected, around 55 AD or so, give or take a few years, Paul wrote the church in Corinth. And he wrote this letter to them. And this morning, we're going to read it because I think it encouraged us like it was meant to encourage the church in Corinth. Encourage us that because of the resurrection, because of what took place, this one thing that has happened in history, it's a fact and it's true. This one thing, our entire faith as Christians hangs on this single truth. I mean, that's a lot of weight. And yet, God puts it all on it. He puts it all on it because it's true. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remember the good news I brought to you. You receive this good news and continue strong in it. And you are being saved by it. You are being saved by this truth as you're continuing to believe what you've been told. If you do not, then you believed for nothing. I passed on to you what I received, of which this was the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scripture says, and that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12 apostles. After that, Jesus was seen by more than 500 other believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen by me. As a person not born at the normal time, all the other apostles are greater than I am. I am not even good enough to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But God's grace has made me what I am, and His grace to me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but it was not really I, but it was the grace of God in me. So if I preach to you or to the other apostles preach to you, we all preach the same thing. And this is what you believed. Verse 12, now, since we preach that Christ was raised from the dead, why do some of you say that people will not be raised from the dead? If no one is ever raised from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. And also, we are guilty of lying about God, because we testify of Him that He raised from the dead. But if people are not raised from the dead, then God never raised Christ. If the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith has nothing to it. You are still guilty of your sins. And those in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is only for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone else in the world. But Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one, and proof that those who sleep in death will also be raised. Death has come because of what one man did, but the rising from the dead also comes because of one man. In Adam, all of us die. In the same way, in Christ, all of us will be made alive again. But everyone will be raised to life in the right order. Christ was raised first. When Christ comes again, those who belong to Him will be raised to life. And then the end will come. At that time, Christ will destroy all the rulers, authorities, and powers, and will hand over the kingdom to God the Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You are good. You love us. And You proved it 2,000 years ago when You sent Your Son. As You bankrupt heaven to purchase us, to pay for us, You went all in for us. We belong to You, those who believe. Jesus, thank You for showing us that we can trust the Father and that He was good. And for loving us and for loving the Father by laying Your life down, by absorbing our sin, taking on our punishment, our debt, our penalty. You took it. So we wouldn't have to. You were separated from the Father for a moment so that we could never be separated from that love if we receive. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray today that You would open eyes, You'd open ears to hear the message of the gospel, that people would believe, they would see the risen Jesus today, that they would be convinced that He is real and that He died for them and that He lives and He conquered sin and death and that He can be trusted. Holy Spirit, do what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to talk about what the resurrection means for us. What the resurrection means for us. As we kick off this new series Forward, it's with resurrection power that God wants to take us forward. We are not of those, church, that shrink back and are destroyed, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. But we are those who press forward, onward, upward, to a high calling, because we know that the plans that God has for us are good, full of a bright future. Amen? And why can we believe that? Why can we trust that to be true? Because of the resurrection. That's why. That's why we can trust that everything Jesus said was true. We can trust it because of the resurrection. The resurrection has the power to change our lives, to take us to heaven, to bring heaven to earth. Resurrection power even has the power to to let my wife pick out the shirt I'm going to wear on Easter. And that resurrection power is evident today that I'm wearing it. God's still doing miracles, church. So what is the resurrection? What does the resurrection mean for us, for you? Turn to your neighbor and ask, what does the resurrection mean to you? Number one, let me tell you, as I could have chosen 100 points of what the resurrection means to us, I only have 8. And why 8 and not 7? 8 because 8 is the number of new beginnings. And I believe many of you are stuck and have felt stuck even over the past 2 years. Those of you who are watching, you may even currently feel stuck. But God is calling you forward. And here's the good news. He extends his hand to you. You may even feel like you're in a pit. You may feel like you're stuck in, your feet can't move. You may feel like you're bound up, broken up. And Jesus extends his hand to you today. And he has the power to break you free, to call you forward, to strengthen your legs. Hallelujah. He has that power to do it today. And why can we trust that? Why can we know that? Because of the resurrection. The resurrection proves, number one, it proves to us who Jesus is. It proves it. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, "And Jesus Christ our Lord was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit." Now Jesus made a lot of claims. He made a whole lot of claims. Why can we believe those claims? Why can we believe that he is who he says he was and is? Because of the resurrection. Why can we believe that it truly was finished at the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished"? Why can we believe that statement? It was a true statement, but the reason we can believe it is because 3 days later, after making that statement, he rose again, proving it was finished, proving that he was who he says he was, that he was the Son of God, the only begotten, that he himself was God. He made hints of it when he walked the earth, when he forgave sins. And many said, "How can you forgive people their sins? Only God can do that." And he said, "Get up and walk." Proving he was God, Son of God. Why do I believe? Because of the resurrection. Why do I believe? Because of the resurrection in me. That's why I believe. The resurrection in me and in you. That's why I believe. I've seen the gospel. I've seen the power of the resurrection change lives, heal lives, redeem lives. Oh, you think you have something in your life unredeemable? Think again.
That's right.
Think again and look for a moment to the cross. Look for the moment to this cross. It's beautiful. That cross is beautiful. But there was a day, there was a time that cross was the most horrific symbol in the earth. The most brutal symbol of the earth. A symbol of punishment and suffering and death. And yet Jesus and the power of the resurrection redeemed the cross and made it the most beautiful symbol that we have. Think about There's millions of people that wear it as fine jewelry. That symbol is beautiful today. It was redeemed. You, your life, and everything in your life can be redeemed. If the cross can be redeemed, it is the proof that you can be redeemed. And the resurrection proves it. The resurrection. The next thing the resurrection means to us is that it makes us new. The resurrection has the power to make us new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence." The cross and the resurrection that followed has the power to make you new, brand new, that you can be born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God is so rich in mercy that He so loved us that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead." He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. Yes, it is by grace we have been saved. Here's the thing, church. This gift of eternal life and the gift of receiving resurrection power in your life, to have resurrection happen in your life, is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can only receive it by faith. When you see the risen Savior, it's in that moment you have a choice. Will you believe? And will you surrender to Him as your Lord and your King and your Savior? If you do, He will make you brand new. He'll make you brand new. You'll become born again. Which leads to number three. The resurrection allows us to receive the breath of God. The breath of God. What does that mean? Why do I want the breath of God? Because without the breath of God, you are dead in your transgressions. You are dead in your sins. You're dead. And separated from a living God who desires for none to perish, but all to come to know Him. This is His desire. His desire is that you would come to know Him, and that you would come one day to be with Him in heaven forever, where He's preparing a home for those who believe. John 20, 22, the night of the resurrection, the very night Jesus was resurrected, He appeared to His disciples. He appeared to His disciples. He walks through the wall. Why? Because a resurrected body is more real than the wall. And there's a resurrected body awaiting those who believe. We have not yet been given it, but we have our new nature. We have a new heart. We have the breath of God living inside of us. John 20, 22 says, as Jesus comes into the room with the disciples, it says, He showed them the wounds of His hands. He showed them the wounds on His feet. He showed them that He was the risen Savior. He showed them that He was Jesus, because He's now in His resurrected body. Maybe just even a couple days, like, we forgot what you looked like, or maybe the resurrected body just looks so different. Or maybe they had the description that John gave, that Jesus was unrecognizable on the cross when He died. But in any case, He showed His disciples, "It's Me, the risen Savior. It's Me." And what did they do? They believed. And when they believed, it says Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathed on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. That word there in the Greek, breathe, is the same word used in Genesis and in the Old Testament of the Hebrew scriptures that were translated into Greek called the Septuagint. And the same word used to translate the Hebrew word for breathe is this word right here in John 20:22, when God in Genesis breathed onto Adam and gave him life. Jesus said, you must be born again. The resurrection allows us to receive once again the breath of God living inside of us. To be restored like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. There is a restoration that happens that the breath of God causes us to become His children. To become His joint heirs with Christ. The resurrection allows this. Number four, the resurrection makes us right with God. It makes us right with Him. Romans 4:25 says, Jesus was given to die for our sins, and that He was raised from the dead to make us right with God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be right with God? It means happiness. Husbands, you know exactly what it means. Because when you're right with your wife, how many times have you asked, like, hey, are we right? Like, everything good? Like, you know exactly what that means. It means she loves you and she's not holding anything against you. Right? She's released your knucklehead activities and your mistakes. She's let it go. That's what it means. Come on. Are we right? By the grace of God, I never get up to preach without being right with her. Okay, because you know that I just let things flow from my heart. You know that I stink without God, okay? And so it may be just moments before getting up, I turn to her and I go, babe, are we okay? Like, if not, like, forgive me, please, right? Because I'm about to go up. And, you know, hey, doesn't matter when, just do it. Get right. But here's the good news. The resurrection makes us right with God. So much so that there's this term called justification, okay? As Christians, that we understand that we've been justified. What does that mean? It means as if you've never sinned. It means this, to be justified, to have justification means that all of your past, your present, and future sins have been paid for. That nothing, no one, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. That you are right. That you have been given the gift of righteousness. That's what the resurrection means. You're right. You're right with Him. It's interesting that Jesus, when He appears to the disciples, and He breathes upon them, and they're born again, it doesn't seem to go into a dialogue with, now guys, where were you? Where were you when I really needed you the most? Peter, I told you you would deny me 3 times. No, because being right with God is not in your own effort. Jesus makes you right. And believing in Him makes you right with Him. It's a gift. You can't earn your righteousness. So stop trying and just receive it. It's a gift. Number five, the resurrection gives us hope for today. Hope for today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We have a living hope because of the resurrection, church. Because of the resurrection. We have a hope. Our souls are anchored in the hope of the resurrection. So no matter what comes, no matter what storm, no matter what problem comes, we're going to make it. We're going to move forward, church. We're going to move forward. And even if you get stuck, Jesus is coming to unstuck you. He's coming to release you, to move forward. It's always a call to go forward. Once you put your hands to the plow, what is it of the person that looks back? I mean, we got a story. Someone turned to the pillar of salt in the Bible. Don't look back. Move forward. And I'm so excited for those that have been blessed to be able to, what the world says, retire. But the Bible has no place for retirement. I'm so blessed to encourage you to refire, because God has a call for you to go forward. In fact, let me prophesy over many of you who have been blessed to be able to stop working for income, that there's greater for you. The most fruitful time of the kingdom is awaiting you. And we're going to talk about that in this series, Forward. But he's not done. Your most fruitful years are still in front of you. Good. Lamentations. Not a book that I spend a lot of time in. A little bit more time recently. But if you dig through Lamentations, you'll find this incredible promise that's available to you because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, you have been grafted into all of the Old Testament promises. All of the promises that were given to Abraham and Abraham's children are yours. In that you say yes and amen to Jesus and the resurrection and what Jesus did on the cross. And this is one of those promises that you can find in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That promise is for you and you and you and you and you and everyone online that believe in Jesus and the resurrection. Go to bed with all of the problems, cast them on Jesus. Give it to him. Go to sleep knowing there's new mercies. Come on, there's new mercies in the morning. There's new joy. There's new hope. There's new beginnings. I mean, mercy means you don't get what you deserve. So if you did stupid things today, go to sleep knowing tomorrow God doesn't hold your stupidness against you. Get to the morning time, church. Get to the morning time. Get to the morning time. Just get to the morning time. There's new mercies. There's new hope in the morning time. Amen? Yes. Number six, the resurrection provides us complete healing. Complete healing. It provides this for us. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to the pasture. The Son of Righteousness. Who is the Son of Righteousness? Interesting, it's actually spelled S-U-N in the Hebrew. It's describing also what could be our sun in the solar system that keeps us warm and lights the day. The Son of Righteousness. Recently, I've been reading a lot about how that one of the latest discoveries, or at least it's getting out there right now, that the morning time sun sets the clock in your rhythms of your life. It sets your clock, and that morning time sun and the infrared that comes from the morning time sun actually releases incredible health benefits that protect you against all the things, all the radiation that's later coming from the sun. It actually boosts your immunity. It actually heals your body. This is some of the greatest breakthroughs through science right now. It's trending. You can read it. You can watch it. You'll find it. The sun in the morning. Get up in the morning. Seek the sun, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because he'll set your heart. He'll set your heart right. But also, if you can, get out in the sun and look toward the sun, not directly in it, but toward it. You want it because it's setting something. Get the word of God out and let the sun bring healing to your bones. Let the sun set your clock and your direction. The resurrection provides us complete healing. And one day, that resurrected body. Number 7. The resurrection gives us victory and freedom. The resurrection gives us victory and freedom. Jesus said in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." 1 John chapter 5, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith in what? Our faith? No. Our faith isn't in our faith. Our faith is in the risen, resurrected Jesus. That's what changes lives. That's what caused you to be born again. You may not even have known it. You may not have known that you put your faith in the resurrected Jesus, but that's the only Jesus there is. A resurrected one. You didn't have to know that to get saved. Hallelujah. You didn't have to know very much to get saved. Hallelujah. And you don't have to know very much to stay saved. Hallelujah. But Jesus brings freedom and victory. He pulls us out of the pits of this life. In moments that we get stuck, he comes knocking on the doors of our hearts. He pursues. He never stops pursuing. His hand is being reached out even today, saying, "Take my hand, come walk with me, come on." He's not calling you to walk alone, but to walk with him. He's calling you forward. It's time to get up. It's time to rise up, church, with resurrection power and start walking in your inheritance. Start walking in the calling and purposes of God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get unstuck. Today, make a decision today to receive resurrection power. Speaking of resurrection power, got a good friend. We have a good friend here at Bethel who's a physicist. And if you don't know, physicists are on the top of the food chain for the sciences. Like if you're a physicist, like you're like the smartest, okay? And a good friend, Brian Miller, PhD from Duke, has studied the Shroud of Turin, which is the burial cloth of Jesus. He fully believes it was Jesus' burial cloth. And I am fully convinced it is too. My faith doesn't live on it, doesn't have to be, but I believe it is. All I need to believe is there was one. Okay, whether that was the one or not doesn't really matter, but I do believe it is because a physicist studied it and he said it is. And so if he said it, that settles it for me. He's much smarter than me. But this is what he said about the image that is found in the shroud. He said it took atomic power, atomic bomb power to produce that image. For that body, the dead body of Jesus, to go through, to leave this X-ray image in the shroud. Church, what does that mean for you and I? What it means is there's atomic power. There's an atomic bomb living inside of you. That's the kind of power you have. Atomic-like power. You telling me you can't break free? I mean, there's people. They're talking about shooting missiles, atomic missiles at Mars. okay, to see if they can create an atmosphere there, okay? You know, I don't think that will happen anytime soon, but here's the thing. You have resurrection power living inside of you. Number 8. And 8 being the number for new beginnings. Again, we could talk about hundreds of benefits, hundreds of things the resurrection means and provides for us. We're just scratching the surface. But number 8, resurrection provides us the power to move forward. The resurrection provides for us the power to move forward. Good luck trying to convince me that God doesn't want you to move forward. I know in the past 2 years, a lot of people have gotten stuck, hurt, and are still hurting. But today's the hour. Now is the moment to move forward. And now is the moment to help others get unstuck and help others move forward. And I believe what God's shown me from His Word are truths that will help us walk by faith and not by sight. Not walking backwards, because He didn't create our bodies to walk backwards. Even though you can walk backwards, we're meant and created to walk forward. He's calling us forward, church. Romans 8:11 says, "And the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." Hallelujah. Oh, I stand because of that resurrection power. And I will jump and I will leap because of God's resurrection power. Church, we're called to bring more of heaven to earth. There are still those that don't know Jesus. And we have the privilege, the honor, and responsibility to make Him known. And today, I end with this question that Jesus asked Martha. He asked Martha this question after Martha had told Jesus that Lazarus had died. And Jesus, now he's just sleeping. And this is what Jesus said to her: "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he said this: "Do you believe this, Martha?" I believe Jesus is asking us that same question. Do you believe this? And for those of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus before today, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Are you living resurrection life? Are you living in it? Is it flowing out of you? Because it can. It's available to you. It's available today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to allow this resurrection power to flow through your life, to touch others, to bring more of heaven to earth into your marriage, into your family, into your career, into your relationships, into our city. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Because I believe this, I believe the entire Bible. Because Jesus believed it. Jesus quoted the scriptures. And so if Jesus believed the scriptures, I can believe the scriptures because Jesus resurrected. He said he was the Son of God. He said he would die and the third day rise again. A lot of people can make those claims. It's one thing to make the claim. It's another thing to pull it off. He pulled it off. And he's been changing lives with his resurrection power ever since. And he's here today, church, to change some more. He's here today to release resurrection power in you. In your marriage, in your finances, in your body, in your hearts, in your minds. Would you bow your heads with me as we close? And those that are even watching online, if you can, if you're able to bow your heads and close your eyes, would you? God, I'm asking that you'll do what you do. That you'd open eyes and ears to believe. That people would see today, Jesus, your outstretched hand toward them. To save them, to heal them, to forgive them, to get them unstuck, to pull them out of the pit they feel that they're in right now, their circumstances, their problems. Lord, you care. You care for us. If you're here today, as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in this holy moment on Easter of 2022, and you would say that you want to take Jesus' hand, you want to receive his resurrection power today in your life, you want to receive his love, you want out of what you're in, and you want to put your trust in him. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Because I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just lift up your hand. He's stretching out his hand to you, church. He's stretching it out to you today. Come on, grab hold of it. Lift up your hand. Just a few moments longer. It's a holy moment. I don't want to rush it. Hands are still going up. Hands are still reaching up to Jesus to take his hand. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this opportunity to experience his love and his resurrection power. Come on, lift up your hand. This is the hour. This is the moment. He can make all things new in your life. Today is the day. Today, right now, if you're watching online, you're here. Lift up your hand. Just lift it up and say, yes, Jesus, I take hold of your hand. I take hold of your hand today and that resurrection power, that power that rolled the stone away, that power that couldn't keep you down. I take hold of it right now. Pray this, church. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you that you died for me and my sins. And today I put my trust in you as my Lord, my Savior. I receive your love, your forgiveness, your resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.